We come this morning, and Christians all over the world will begin celebrating the Holy Week of Passover this week. This is the week we are reminded of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover week to the cheering crowds who would say, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then it seems very shortly, only hours later, those same crowds would be crying out to crucify him. We see this week the joy of the Lord, but yet also we see the passion and the sorrow of the Lord Jesus Christ over the sinfulness of men. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be abandoned by everyone, only to stand before Pilate and others as he's tried and condemned. We will see him hanging upon the cross, where he will suffer and die. And we will also look forward to next Sunday morning when we celebrate the empty tomb. And all of that will take place before us in the Holy Week that is being celebrated this week, tonight. We invite you to come back and celebrate that reality musically with our choir. But as we come to this day and this week, I want us to be reminded of the reality of what is taking place. And certainly there could be no more fitting worship than that of the Lord's table. Then this morning, if you have your Bibles, we're looking in 1 Corinthians 11. And I want you to remember three words as we come to the Lord's table this morning. Three words that will help you focus in on what is being done this morning. The first word, and by the way, they all begin with E, so those of you who are taking notes can easily write them down. The first word is examination. The first word is the word examination. Look, if you would, in verse 28 of chapter 11, Paul says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." There are at least two ways in which examination needs to be in our celebration this morning. The first one is very simply the reality that Paul will talk about elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, and that is that we should examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. To examine ourselves to see whether or not we truly have a living relationship with the resurrected Lord Jesus. For as when you come to this time, you are literally being reminded of what he did on your behalf. You are being reminded of his death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And so this is a family celebration. This is a celebration of the family of God, because we who are the church have become his body. We are his living body in this dying world. And so the Bible's very clear that we need to see whether we're in the faith, and that faith does not come to you by heritage, does not come to you by your own goodness. It does not come to you by the goodness of others. It doesn't even come to you by being a part of the church called First Baptist. It comes to you as a result of placing your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree, and then believing that God has raised him from the dead, and that because of that, you understand there is no way you can make yourself acceptable to God, and that God himself must do something to you and in you that you might be a child of God. That is why the book of Ephesians says that it is not of ourselves, lest any of us should boast. It is the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if there's never come that time and place in your life when you have surrendered all that you are to all that he is and allow him to become your life and allow him to become the Lord and master of your life, then this morning I urge you, I beg of you, do not partake of this table, because that would be saying a lie of where you are with God and whose you are in God. So you need to examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith, but you also need to examine yourself if you are in the faith. If you are in the faith. Notice what Paul says. He says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That there is a way in which we can live the Christian life, believing we're on our way to heaven, knowing the Lord Jesus as our Savior, but we can live the life of Christ in our own strength, in our own ability. We can live walking the guilty distance. We can live separated from the intimacy of God that God would desire for us to have with him. We could allow ourselves to pick up the pollution of the world, as the Bible will say, and therefore having within us a need to repent of sin. It's amazing to me as I talk to God's people and we hear the word repent in the Bible, and immediately our mind goes to those who don't know Jesus Christ yet, that they need to repent of their sinfulness and come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that is true. But I want you to know, as you read the Old and New Testaments concerning the people of God, most of the commands to repent are given to the people of God. They're given to those who know him and who have wandered away from him and who have begun walking the guilty distance, hoping they're on their way to heaven, but living as if they're not. And so we, as we come to the table, need to examine ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to shine the searchlight of his truth upon our lives and say, Lord, where am I with you? Can we pray that prayer of David, that dangerous prayer to the Holy Spirit, this through the Holy Spirit's power this morning, to search us and to try us, to see if there is any wicked way within us that we need, from which we need to repent. I love this phrase, examine. It seems like I've spent my entire life dealing with one examination or another. From age just before my 18th birthday up until just before my 30th birthday, I was in school every year. And I want you to know something about that, that at the end of every class, there were always exams. How many of you remember those days? There were always exams. And the examination was not to examine what the professor knew. The examination was to show what you knew concerning what the professor had taught concerning the subject matter. And I never liked those tests that were graded on the curve, because that really wasn't fair. That wasn't fair to me. If I knew 70% of the information and someone else knew 90%, then really they were being discounted in their knowledge, because I was getting a better grade than I deserved and they weren't. And I want you to understand something about the examination of the Lord concerning our hearts. He doesn't grade on the curve. He doesn't grade on the curve. It's either pass or fail. It's either in Christ or out of Christ. It's either close with God or away from God. There's no grading on the curve. You get the score that you deserve. And by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, what is the grade of the examination on your life this morning? As we come to the table, it is a moment of examination. But I want you to see something else. Not only is it the moment of examination, but it is the moment of evangelization. It is the moment of evangelization. Look at verse 26. For Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim his death until he comes. You proclaim his death until he comes. How many of you feel like you're preachers this morning? Well, there's one up here, hopefully. Somebody else raised their hand. But according to the word of God, when you partake of these elements, you, the body of Christ, the resurrected body, you are preachers of the gospel. You are proclaimers of the gospel. And so you begin proclaiming here that we are the resurrected body of the one who died and rose again. And then in Matthew 28, that same Jesus who rose again told us that we are to go and make disciples, and we're to teach them all things whatsoever he has commanded us, and we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. 1,000 years from now, if the Lord Jesus tarries, upon the face of this earth will be children of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. And they will still celebrate two ordinances: baptism and the Lord's Supper. The baptism will proclaim the resurrection clearly. death to the old way of life, resurrection in Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper will proclaim his death until he returns, his payment for our sinfulness. And they will be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ if he tarries 1,000 years from now, just as we are proclaiming it 2,000 years since he ascended to the Father. It is about the reality that men and women, boys and girls, needed someone to pay for sin's debt in order that they might have eternal life. And the good news of the gospel is that the one who came and died has paid sin's price, that we who are in him might have eternal life. And as you partake of the table this morning, you are proclaiming that gospel. It is preparation for that proclamation that you will make outside of these walls, that you will tell others of the one who died that you might have eternal life, the one who suffered that you may not suffer, the one whose body was beaten and bruised that by his stripes you might be healed. You are proclaiming the Lord's death. How long? As long as you feel like it? No. As long as the Lord Jesus tarries. Till he comes, you will do this to honor him. The evangelization. It also reminds us is that while we are in this world, we have a work to do. The work of God is not finished as long as the body of Christ is in this world. And so we must continue to do that which he's called us to do in sharing the good news. Examination and evangelization. But here's the third one. The third one is exaltation. Exaltation. Notice that Paul says, you're proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. And if you'll take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 5, it's the last book of the Bible, so those of you who are in 1 Corinthians, hang a right to the end. Revelation chapter 5. Beginning in verse 9, the Bible says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and nation. You've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And again, in verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and blessing. And again, in verse 13, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. How long? Forever and ever. How long? When time ceases, how long? When eternity reigns, forever and ever will the Lamb of God be glorified for that which he has done in his body. I love what it says in verse chapter 4, verse 11, how it links the Old Testament to the New by the quoting of Isaiah, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. For you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Exaltation, everything that has breath, the Bible says, let it praise the Lord. I want you to understand something this morning as you come to this table. This morning when you serve God in Sunday school, you, by the power of the Spirit, the Bible says you were given honor by the Father. But that you will then take that honor and glorify him. This morning when you taught your Sunday school lesson, the Bible says if you did it in the power of the Spirit, that you will receive glory from the Father. You will receive honor from the Father. for doing that which he's called you to do in the power of the Spirit. This morning, as you burped babies and changed diapers and loved people, the Bible says you are receiving rewards in heaven, which you will lay at the Lamb of God's feet. But I want you to understand something. When you come to this table, it is a reminder that you did nothing and you can do nothing to save yourself. That there is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You did nothing and you can do nothing for your own salvation. No one will brag in heaven about how good they were and deserve to be there. There's only one person who receives glory, and that's the Lord Jesus. And so I would just say this morning, it's a good time to practice what we're going to be doing in eternity, and that is exalting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because it was His blood, it was His body, it was His sorrow, it was His pain that was experienced. You know, when I think about that, it just reminds me every time I see that scene where the Lord Jesus Christ is being scourged in the passion of the Christ, and it reminds me that I, in my own ability, am not worthy of one drop of His precious blood. I'm not worth anything that He went through, but He chose of His own volition to go to the cross for me and to pay my sin debt. Oh, beloved, before God, the Bible says, no flesh will glory. When you celebrate the supper this morning, you are being reminded of the glory of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this morning, as we partake, let no one be mistaken that somehow they were good enough, that somehow they were nice enough, that somehow they were acceptable enough, that God is blessed having you or me in His family. Now you say, well, He is blessed by me being a child. Yes, because of what He did, but not in your own ability. That is why the Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. Exaltation, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we come to the table, let us do these things so that He might receive all honor and glory in His body that He purchased from every kindred, every tribe, and every nation by His own blood and for His glory. Father and God, again, we thank You for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now as we partake of the table, remind us again of the goodness and greatness of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us that we might call You our Father. For Your word says that this is eternal life, that we may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. We who are His body, exalt in Him that You may receive the glory. For it's in His name we pray. And together the people of God say, Amen. As our deacons come. Again, in Matthew's gospel, we hear these words again. And while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to His disciples and said, take and eat. This is My body. Father, we thank You for the bread of life who came down from heaven, the manna that allows us to have spiritual food, that allows us to be part of Your family. Father, now as we partake of this bread, remind us that we are His body in this world. And as He and His body paid the price that we might have eternal life. May this body pay the price that others may know him to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.